A reading from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 11 through 32. Now Jesus stood up before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You have said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pastor Tim Miller of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington, Illinois, will deliver the meditation on God's Word today.
The scriptural accounts of Jesus' suffering and death are bittersweet. They are bitter when we consider how much Jesus suffered and that it was our sins that doomed him to suffer that way. It is sweet to realize that Jesus is doing all of this willingly, out of love for his Father and love for us. He's doing it all for our benefit, that we would be spared from suffering for our sins. Let's take a closer look at three particulars from Jesus' reading. First, notice that for you, Jesus declines an opportunity to defend himself. When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer, it says. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Jesus' enemies hurl all sorts of lies at him. They vehemently shout all kinds of accusations in hopes that something will stick before Governor Pilate. Again and again, Jesus had proven himself capable of answering whatever trick questions his enemies might use to try to trip him up. He surely could have defended himself against these false charges without even using his divine power. And with his divine power, he could have silenced all his accusers eternally in the twinkling of an eye. But Jesus does not do that. He gives no answer, no excuse, no defense. It happens exactly as the prophet described it hundreds of years before. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, so he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he is there to suffer for you. He's carrying our sins on his back. There is no excuse to be made, no defense that will leave sin unpunished. Jesus is determined that no sin of yours or mine will be left unpaid for. Jesus' answer to Pilate was silence, because his word to the Father had been, "Not my will, but yours be done." Secondly, notice the bittersweet exchange that takes place. Jesus is completely guiltless. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. He is the beloved Son in whom the Father is well pleased, the one, the only one, who knew no sin. Barabbas, on the other hand, is a notorious prisoner, thrown into prison for murder and trying to overthrow the government. And Pilate puts the dear Lord Jesus on a par with him, as though the two even belonged in the same breath. He said, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas, or Jesus who is called Christ?" How bitter for Jesus, but how sweet for us that Jesus allows himself to be numbered with the transgressors. How else could we hope to have Jesus on our side? We couldn't go over to him, so he came to be one of us. And for our benefit, the Lord Jesus is treated as even worse than this criminal. For Barabbas is released and Jesus is handed over to be crucified. For you, this miscarriage of justice is carried out, so that through faith in this Christ, you and I, the guilty ones, are released before God, counted righteous and holy in his sight, and Jesus, the innocent one, is condemned to suffer a hellish death in our place. Finally, consider the crown of thorns. It says, "Twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head." Remember when thorns are first mentioned in the Bible? It comes right after the fall into sin, when God curses the ground. He tells Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, to your return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." The curse of sin not only brought death to humanity, it also brought corruption and ruin to the rest of creation, as seen by the thorns that now grow on various plants and trees. With each blow of that stick by the soldiers, the cursed thorns are pounded into the holy head of Jesus. The blood flows as he suffers in his own body the curse that sin has brought to creation. How bitter for Jesus, but how sweet for us, his creatures. Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. By his death and resurrection, he earned for us a place in the new creation, a place without any sin or death or curse, a place where we shall freely eat of the tree of life. Bitter for Jesus, but sweet for you and me. Amen.
We thank the Reverend Tim Miller of St. John's Lutheran Church in New Minden, Illinois, and St. Luke's Lutheran Church in Covington, Illinois, for the meditation on God's Word today.